You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Progressive Canadians increasingly have become aware of the environmental devastation caused by Canadian mining corporations in the countries of the Global South. Awareness is less sharp when it comes to the communities in the Global South, which are targets of violent thugs and divisive sabotage promoted by these same corporations. But we are least aware of all the calm financial manipulations which make Canada the preferred home of 75% of the world's mining corporations. Alain Deneau is co-author of an important book that addresses this blank space in popular awareness. His book is titled Imperial Canada, Inc., Legal Haven of Choice for the World's Mining Industries, and it's published by Talon Books in Vancouver. Alain Deneau has also written other books, including Black Canada, Pillage, Corruption, and Criminality in Africa, as well as Offshore, Tax Havens, and the Rule of Global Crime. Alain Deneau teaches sociology at UQAM, the University of Quebec in Montreal, and we've reached Alain in the Outaouais region of Quebec. Hello, Alain, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
How are you? Thank you.
Your book begins outlining the various, you have six factors which make Canada such an attractive haven for mining corporations around the globe. Maybe if you could sketch that overview.
Well, we may say that Canada is a legal haven for the world's mining industries. And when we talk about haven, of course, we think of tax haven, and the analogy is relevant. I mean, we know what a tax haven is. It's a place like the Bahamas or Luxembourg or Liechtenstein that is used by taxpayers that want to avoid taxation in their own jurisdiction. Well, this phenomenon of avoiding constraints like the taxation exists also in several social fields. I mean, it exists in the maritime transport, in accountability, it exists for the intellectual property, it exists in several sectors, and well, in the mining sector, especially when an investor wants to set up a company in that particular sector in the world, these investors go to Canada, because Canada is a haven for the mining industries, in a sense that the jurisdiction here was shaped in order to give a lot of advantages to that industry.
One of the factors you point to is, of course, these companies seek investors. Huge amounts of money are traded in the mining sector on the Toronto Stock Exchange. And there seems, you argue, to be really great space for unlimited speculation. Could you elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah, 75% of the world mining companies are Canadian. If you pick randomly a mining corporation in the world, you have 3 chances out of 4 that this corporation is Canadian. 60% of these that go public do it in Toronto, and 90% of the stock exchange traded in mining sector in the world are traded in Toronto. Why is it so? Well, we have to consider in that offshore approach, seeing Canada as a haven for the world mining industries, that these corporations that are registered in Toronto don't always come from Canada originally. I mean, they come from Australia, from Sweden, from Belgium, from Israel, from the U.S., from all kind of countries, to register in Toronto in order to exploit mines that exist abroad also. I mean, these mines will be in Zambia, in Tanzania, in Mali, in Chile, in Argentina, and Indonesia, and so on. The advantages that the mining companies find here when they register here is to have access to easy money, because it's quite easy here to promote the value of a mine with respect to the rules of disclosing information. I mean, to disclose information that help a corporation to promote a mine is quite easy here. It's I could talk about the technical issues related to that, but let's say at that point that it's quite easier here than in the U.S., for instance, to promote the value of a mine, so to promote the value of a stock, and to get to attract investors and to support, I would say, the speculation around the value of a stock. This is the first point. The second point is that we find in Canada fiscal advantages to given to investors that buy stocks, especially in the mining sector. When investors like a pension fund, an insurance company, a bank, invest in the mining sector, these investors have fiscal advantages, advantages on the tax level that they won't have if they invest in other sectors of the economy. So the result is that we find in Toronto easy money for the mining sector. There's a lot of money. It was $2,020 billion traded between 2007 and 2011 only in mining stocks. So it gives the industry an access to money that will help them to finance projects abroad, projects that are often very controversial on an environmental level, social, political, or tax level also.
You mentioned as well that the education system in Canada has been orchestrated to provide defense of this investment for the mining companies and for the range of immoral actions that they take in other parts of the world. Could you say a word or two about that?
Well, our country since 1867. Is shaped and designed as a colony. And, well, we have a lot of legacy today related to that matter of fact. In the elementary schools and also up to the university, we find a lot of educative programs or research programs that are financed by the industry in order to see the school and the university system provide people that will work for them afterwards. So you'll have also on the political field the Peter Mung Center, which is the most important research center in political sciences in Canada with respect to international issues, that is supported by the founder of Barrick Gold, which is Peter Mung. And it's quite uncomfortable for a scholar or an academic to see public institutions being financed by an industry that wants to take advantage, obviously, of the programs that the government supports with public funds.
Now, your books, and this is another aspect, you say that of the welcoming environment to investors and speculators in the mining sector, is that there is a vigorous silencing of critics of the mining industry by use of legal methods of suppression of free speech. Your book, Black Canada, your present book, Imperial Canada Inc., both have faced lengthy and difficult attacks from the mining industry trying to block their publication. Tell us the story of that.
There's a very problematic paradox in Canada. In Canada, corporations of the mining sector, as I put it, have access to easy money. They can speculate here. They have the support of the Canadian diplomacy when they operate abroad. And also, it's very difficult for citizens to sue them for what they do abroad. The Supreme Court, in a recent ruling, said that the plaintiff from the Congolese community couldn't sue Anvil Mining in Canada, for instance, for what it did when it was there, the company was there during a war that made 5 million deaths. So you see all those like problems on a legal level occurring, and at the same time, if it's difficult for citizens to sue corporations for what we think they do abroad, it's very easy for corporations to sue citizens when they criticize the industry. As you said, I received legal letters myself when I started to work on Imperial Canada Inc., which is the, let's say, the English version of a work I've done previously in French. Well, while working on that book, I received legal letters, but also my colleagues, my publisher, and even the translators of the sketch I was writing received legal letters from Barrick Gold, and Barrick Gold asked all of us to send them the documents we were working on as if we owe them something. Of course, we refuse, but it gives an idea of the legal context in which academics, researchers, intellectuals, journalists, citizens, ordinary citizens, evolve here when they try to understand what is the oligarchy up to in this country. And it says a lot. Well, you may know that U.S. academics, professors, for instance, don't sometimes refuse to participate to Congress in Canada because they are afraid to be sued for what they work on a daily basis in the U.S. So there are a lot of problems that should raise concern here.
To conclude, what is your aim that you want to achieve with the publication of your book? What do you want to tell the reader?
Well, there's a lot of public documents in the world that raise serious issues about the role of Canadian mining corporations abroad. We're talking about bribery, about plundering, massive pollution, problem related to public health, arms dealing, corruption, and so on. These are very, very important stories that were related in a lot of reports from the UN, the ruling of courts in the world, the documents of parliamentary commission. I mean, we quote all those documents in Imperial Canada Inc. And I think that those documents are numerous enough to justify in Canada the creation of an independent inquiry commission to know exactly what happened in all those cases that were raised in these documents. And this even experts mandated by the Council of Security of the UN asked the Canadian government, among others, to do inquiries on some corporations that were mentioned in their reports, saying that they didn't have the means themselves to do these inquiries. I mean, it has to come from public institution. I mean, the ordinary citizen don't have, or independent researchers don't have the means to do that, and also don't have the legal power to do that. And, well, that should be done, and of course, citizens should be aware that their own earning is used in this country to support an industry that it is totally out of control outside of this country. And these are a few points that should raise concern in Canada, yes.
Well, thank you very much for being available this morning, and I highly recommend the book. It really is excellent. Thanks, Alain.
I thank you.
I've been speaking with Alain Deneau. He's author of several books on mining corporations, including Imperial Canada Inc., Legal Haven of Choice for the World's Mining Industries. It's published by Talon Books here in Vancouver. And Alain Deneau teaches sociology at the University of Quebec in Montreal.